You're listening to KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. I'm glad to have you here, and we're going to begin our Seattle show in Standing Rock, North Dakota, where protesters celebrated yesterday. That's because the Army Corps of Engineers denied access to an easement for building that controversial oil pipeline. Linda Mapes is an environment reporter for the Seattle Times, and she told me why protesters are right to see this denial as a victory, for now.
In its decision, the Corps said that the tribe has raised concerns about the effects of a spill polluting their drinking water and also effects on cultural resources, and further, lack of consultation and the need for a full environmental impact statement to include a review of alternative routes.
The energy company building this pipeline says they are going to go ahead with the pipeline anyway, so why is this a big victory?
You know, I don't think that's an accurate reading of their statement. If you read it closely, what it says is that they do not think there will be an alternative route. That's not the same thing as saying that they're going to get cracking and start drilling. It has to be understood that I can't imagine a contractor of the sort that is needed for this major job that would do some kind of pirate, rogue, middle-of-the-night drilling operation. I mean, first of all, Michael's Construction out of Brownsville, Wisconsin, which is a nearly 100-year-old company and one of the largest in the nation that does this horizontal directional drilling work. In fact, they're a major contractor on Sound Transit. They're not going to risk their people and their equipment and, frankly, their reputation on going out there and starting to drill under the Missouri River when the Army Corps of Engineers, the federal government, has told them they don't have a right to be there. I mean, they're not going to do that. This isn't some, like, middle-of-the-night quick operation. It's a big deal, very expensive, very sophisticated.
So if the company's saying we don't think there'll be a rerouting, what are they saying, that the project's finished?
They
just think they'll get this from the Trump administration instead of the Obama administration?
Yeah. I mean, they think they will prevail under either a different scenario in which no EIS ever happens because somehow they overturn they'd have to have a court victory, right? You'd have to see a scenario in which under the Trump administration they would say, oh, forget it, you know, we don't need that EIS, we're going to give you the easement, go to it.
Could the Trump administration do that?
They can do that, but you know what happens next? Of course, the tribe instantly sues and says, actually, no, you know, we have a finding by an administrative agency that says we need to do a full environmental impact statement for the reasons they stated. It was not arbitrary and capricious. It's a finding by a federal agency, and you'd have to go to court and adjudicate that. You know, they can't just, you know, tweet it and make it so. I mean, you got to fight this stuff out through governmental and administrative processes. So, you know, this is a big deal, and I quoted John Hasselman from Earth Justice today in the Seattle Times saying, you know, this isn't a hoax, this is real, you know, people should just go home. I mean, they won, you know, it's not a small thing, it's not a minor matter, it's a big deal, and they can't just, you know, wish it away or make it go away.
So Energy Transfer Partners doesn't want to reroute the pipeline, but could that happen? If you're saying it would be a big fight under even a Trump administration, but could the pipeline just go in a different place, or does it have to go through Standing Rock's claim?
No. Let's all remember, it originally was going to go through a different place. It was going to go north of Bismarck, the capital city of North Dakota, and there was concern about this is ironic in retrospect, the municipal wellheads. And so the company rerouted the pipeline to take it down to Indian Country, to take it within a half a mile of the Standing Rock Sioux reservation border and within 10 miles of their drinking water intake. For the company, it was cheaper, and it got them out of a situation of concern about the water supply for the city of Bismarck. And what the Standing Rock Sioux says to that is, I don't think so.
So then, Linda, what is your prediction?
You know, I think that what we're all going to have to do is live with this process for a while. I mean, it's going to be up in the air. The Army Corps has spoken. That doesn't go away because the company doesn't like it. And it doesn't instantly go away when Donald Trump takes office. You know, if Energy Transfer wants to sue and fight this, that's what they'll do. And the tribe will push back. I mean, this is not going to go away quickly. But it is certainly, I cannot imagine a scenario in which you suddenly see some drilling rigs starting up in the middle of the night in North Dakota. It's over, at least for now.
at least for now. We talked on KUOW with an attorney for Native claims, Gabe Galanda, who said he's afraid of a congressional backlash against protesters and that life gets harder for tribes.
That could happen. That could certainly happen. But you know what? It's never been easy. And, you know, the fortitude and the resources of Indian tribes is something that people have got to be noticing by now. I mean, this started at Cherry Point at the Lummi Nation, and it started last May.
Near Bellingham, for listeners who don't know Cherry Point, the terminal, the coal terminal.
That tribe defeated fully and solely on the strength of its reserved treaty rights, a $625 million coal port, the largest ever proposed in North America and desperately wanted by coal companies that want to ship coal by train to Asian ports. And they didn't get it. And, you know, that was noticed. And it was noticed around the world, and it was noticed around Indian country. And so now here comes Standing Rock. And you know what's next? Trans Mountain. I mean, BC opposed it. The city of
this
Vancouver.
Is the expansion of the pipeline from Alberta to the Vancouver area.
Exactly, and it's tar sands, dirtier oil, and it's bigger. It's bigger than Standing Rock. It's bigger than Keystone. And, you know, there are First Nations in BC that oppose that. There are First Nations elsewhere in Canada that oppose it. There are tribal nations in Salish country on the Washington side of the border that oppose it, and environmentalists on both sides of the border that oppose it. You know, if this is what building an oil pipeline looks like in rural North Dakota, I can't even imagine what it's going to look like if Kinder Morgan tries to bring a tar sands pipeline to Metro Vancouver.
That's Linda Mapes, environment reporter for the Seattle Times, looking to the future for the oil pipeline at Standing Rock and to our north at the pipeline that ends near Vancouver, British Columbia.